All right, let's talk Cleveland Browns football with Mary Kay Cabot of the Cleveland Plain Dealer, and we'll start where we always start in football, at the quarterback position. Colt McCoy, second-year quarterback, has been running Camp Colt, they're calling it. He's had it a couple of times in Austin down at University of Texas. He's had one in Cleveland. Good sign that your second-year quarterback is showing that he wants to be the leader of the team?
Oh, absolutely. You know, you really have to commend Colt for getting everybody together. I just talked to him, I think it was yesterday or the day before, and he said they're even paying the way or helping pay the way for rookies and the young free agents to get to these camps. So, you know, they're doing everything they can to bring guys together, and it's just great that he's doing this.
We saw flashes from him last year. Obviously, he had a great career at Texas. He replaces Brady Quinn, in essence, which is sort of a failed experiment there with Cleveland. Do you get the sense that Colt McCoy on the field has that special quality that's going to make him a good NFL quarterback?
Well, you know, he seems to have everything that it takes, but you never really know until you're kind of proven over time. He did show tremendous flashes, especially when he was thrown in there, against Pittsburgh, against the Jets, against New Orleans, some really good football teams, some very, very good defenses, and, you know, he handled himself extremely well. So I think he's showing signs that he can be something, but obviously you have to prove it over the long haul, and now we'll get the chance to see what he looks like in the West Coast offense.
Yeah, that's true. Pat Shurmur comes in as the new head coach. He 1 year as an offensive coordinator with the Rams, but he's a Mike Holmgren, Andy Reid tree of coaches, that West Coast style. What's the feeling, A, around Browns fans about Pat Shurmur as the new head coach, and B, does that style work for Colt McCoy?
I think that style will work very, very well for Colt McCoy. I think fans here are very excited about Pat Shurmur, and I think everybody is happy that, you know, the whole organization is going in the same direction now. I mean, I think Eric Mangini and Mike Holmgren did the best they could to, you know, to kind of hold it together, but they were just from two different football philosophies and ways of doing things. And, you know, Pat Shurmur, Tom Heckert, Mike Holmgren, these guys are all pulling in the same direction. That direction is the West Coast offense. Many folks think that Colt McCoy is very well suited to the West Coast offense. And some of the receivers on this team, including like a Brian Robisky, should fare better in this offense.
So McCoy is penciled in as a starter. I would guess Seneca Wallace goes into that backup role. Does that mean Jake Delhomme is not there at the beginning of next season?
Well, you know, there's a chance he won't be because he's set to make $5.4 million, and they're not going to keep somebody around at that price to be a third string quarterback. So, you know, and if Jake can find an opportunity where, you know, maybe he can be the number two and get a chance to get on the field and play some, I think he would prefer to do that. He still really enjoys the game. But you never really know what's going to happen because he does like it here. He likes working with Colt. You know, he really likes the organization and the coaches. So in the final analysis, it would just come down to him taking a significant pay reduction.
Talking with Mary Kay Cabot of the Cleveland Plain Dealer. She covers the Cleveland Browns. Draft day was a wild one for the Browns. Traded down. Atlantic jumps up and takes Julio Jones. Then the Browns trade back up to take Phil Taylor, defensive tackle out of Baylor. Bit of a surprise in your eyes that that's how that played out?
Well, I never really thought they were going to take Julio Jones there. I really did always think that they would either go in another direction or try to trade the pick. I did not think they were going to do that, so I was not surprised when he was available and they traded the pick. But, you know, maybe surprised that they traded as far back as they did, and then, of course, they came back up to number 21 from 27. But, yeah, nobody really thought they were going to go, nobody really had Phil Taylor on the radar just because he was back so far in the round, and we were focusing more on the big-name guys. But, he definitely fills a need. And, you know, in order to get this 4-3 defense going under Dick Geron, you know, they really needed some bodies. And now they have a good foundation for that defense.
The second round pick I love as far as talent goes, Greg Little from North Carolina. But he comes with baggage in that he was part of that Carolina football suspension. He missed all of last year. A report came out today. I think they said he had 93 parking tickets Which, look, I went to University of Maryland. I didn't get my degree for a long time because I owed a bunch of parking tickets, too. So I get that. But were there any sort of flags up with Greg? The talent's there, but any sort of flags that you say, not so sure?
Well, yeah, I just saw that about the parking tickets today, too. And it's like, ooh.
93 is a lot.
You don't like to see anything like that because, I think you want somebody that's going to, follow the rules and follow your rules. But I really do think that the year off has made him appreciate the game of football. I think it's made him hungry. I think it's changed him as a person. I think it brought him to his knees. And I think there's a lot to be said for a person going through a turning point like that. And if that's what you needed, to bring out the right type of character that, that the Browns are looking for in him and the kind of person that he wants to be, then, maybe it could turn out to be the best thing that happened to him. But that remains to be seen. And, I noticed that Braylon Edwards got another little fender bender last night going too fast at 3:40 in the morning. So, sometimes, guys don't change in the way that you hope that they will. So I think everybody's hoping that Greg turns out to be a great player for the Browns.
Now, I think he so far there's been three of these camp cult, if I'm right, and he missed one of them and has been to the last two.
No, he's only been to one so far.
Okay. But a good sign though that he wants to be there because, this is a guy that could risk by going there and getting hurt. So a good sign that he wants to go and be a part of it.
Yeah, and the other good thing was that even though his agent advised him, not to do the team stuff and the on the field stuff because if you tear your ACL, forget it. But he said, no, I want to do this. My teammates are going to be out there. I want to show them, that I'm one of them. They're taking a risk. I'm going to take it too. So I think that probably went a long way towards building some goodwill.
Absolutely. The biggest story last year, talking with Mary Kay Cabot of Cleveland Plain Dealer, was Peyton Hillis. I mean, tore up the Ravens. What just a massive, massive kid. What a season he had last year. Can he repeat it?
As a matter of fact, I just talked to Peyton Hillis on the phone today, and I will be writing a story that will appear in Sunday's paper and on Cleveland.com on Sunday about Peyton Hillis, just about just what he's been doing and different things like that. He's got some very unorthodox training methods. So, it was an interesting conversation. But he is really determined to come back strong. He's going to have some competition from Montario Hardesty this year. But, how exciting for the season that he had. And, finally something turned out well for the Browns. They trade away Brady Quinn and they get Peyton Hillis in return. Those are the kinds of things that usually go the opposite way for Cleveland teams these days. But, it was just great for Browns fans to have him. Of course, he ended up on the Madden cover. That's the kind of player he is. He just has a tremendous cult following. I mean, people love this guy. And he's just an interesting character, fun to be around, fun to have, in Cleveland. And, for Browns fans, I hope that he can continue on because it's given them something to feel really good about.
Yeah, I mean, even when he had the big game against the Ravens, I got a sense that a lot of Baltimore people were like, usually if someone tears up your team, you think, I hate that. People are like, that's a good football player right there. He's easy to like, no matter if you're a Browns fan or just a fan of the game.
Absolutely. He has that effect on people, and I think that was borne out in this voting for the Madden cover. I mean, for him to come out of nowhere and beat guys like Aaron Rodgers and Michael Vick for the Madden cover, I think that speaks volumes. I mean, he just has that sort of effect, and it's just been good PR for the Browns, good goodwill, and just a whole lot of fun.
Now I'm looking. There's no wood in here to knock, but that's been a jinx usually, the Madden cover. So hopefully for his sake, that doesn't happen.
Well, he's not subscribing to that.
I didn't think he would.
At all. And, he said, no, there will be no Madden jinx.
Mary Kay Cabot, the Cleveland Plain Dealer. This was not in your paper, but I read a great story yesterday about Joe Hayden, the first-round pick from last year. And I guess he, on Twitter, a couple of days ago, he wrote, "Say you follow me on Twitter and I'll take your bill." And he took 55 fans out for sushi and picked up their bill. He seems to be going around and being very active in the community, goes to Cavs games and gets involved, goes to Indians games and gets involved. I mean, that's a remarkable story. And sadly enough, stories like this don't get broadcast enough. We always hear the accidents and the arrests, but what a great job by a young kid to really make a mark in a community.
Oh, he really has. He has really, really embraced the community. He puts himself out there all the time. You can always find him, you know, at the big events. You know, he was at the, I think he was at the Cavs, you know, draft party last night. He's always somewhere, always, you know, spreading some cheer. He is one of the happiest young men I have ever met in my life. Just unbelievable attitude, positive, upbeat, fun to be around. I mean, great football player. I mean, what a tremendous asset he is to the Cleveland Browns and definitely to the community.
I know Colt McCoy said 5-11 is not acceptable anymore. What's the realistic goal? I mean, obviously, we don't know what the team's made up yet. We don't know if free agents and stuff like that. But is there some sort of feeling that this thing's moving in the right directions for the Browns?
I think everybody feels like it's moving in the right direction, but everyone also has to remember they're installing a new offense and a new defense with no offseason to put it in. And so I think it's going to be a little bit challenging. I mean, the defense hasn't gotten together yet. They're moving to a 4-3. You know, they don't have all the pieces and parts. I don't think anybody is expecting they're going to go into the Super Bowl this season. But I think you can realistically expect them to win some games. I mean, if I had to put a record to it right now, you know, I would probably go, you know, somewhere in the 8-8 range. You know, I'd have to see like some things in camp to move that up a little bit, up to a 9-7. But, you know, I think they can win some games this year. The schedule is far easier this year than it was last year, and that will make a difference.
Absolutely. Last question for you. Any chance, I saw a report that the Browns could potentially be interested in going after Terrell Pryor in the supplemental draft. You got Holmgren and Shurmur, who are quarterback gurus. You've got, you know, the Ohio connection, obviously, where, yes, there's a, you know, a faction of Ohio State fans that probably can't stand him right now, but if you can still root for him in a Browns uniform, could be a good thing. Do you see that at all being a fit?
Well, they're looking into it. I can honestly say I know they're going to, they're doing, I wrote a story about this week. They're doing their due diligence on him. They're definitely looking into it. And again, you know, John Gruden, Mike Holmgren, really listens and values his opinion. And John Gruden thinks very, very highly of Terrell Pryor. And, you know, if they think that he's a good developmental project, I mean, Mike Holmgren always likes to have somebody kind of waiting in the wings, somebody that they're working on and developing for the future. And I would not rule it out. I don't know what they will, what conclusions they will come to after they do all their homework, but he's definitely on their radar.
Interesting. So I got to ask you, as a Cleveland person, are you a LeBron guy or anti-LeBron guy?
I'm so sorry to say that I am an anti-LeBron guy. I feel so bad even saying that, just because, I mean, you know, how, you know, he's, you know, he was so good for Cleveland for so many years, and it just, it's still just a painful thing for everyone here. So I'm still saying I'm an anti-LeBron guy, but not to the extent that, you know, so many other people are.
You didn't go out and burn his jersey when he decided to go to Miami.
You know, I mean, I don't want to see him fail. I really don't. You know, I do understand, you know, the business, and I understand wanting to win and all that kind of stuff. So, but, you know, being from Cleveland, I do feel everyone's pain here, and it does run deep. I will say that.
I hear you. But if I was 25 and a billionaire, I'd probably go to Miami myself. Anyhow, Mary Kay Cabot, Cleveland Plain Dealer, great information on the Browns. Hopefully we can all go back to work and cover football on the field soon.
Let's hope so.
All right, take care.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Mary Kay Cabot, the Cleveland Plain Dealer.